Nick Watts on the line, the Guardian's chief political correspondent. Nick, Cameron went out on a limb earlier in the week with his talk of a no-fly zone over Libya, potentially. What's been the reaction to that in the international community?
Well, it's interesting. It's pretty strong language from the Prime Minister when he made a statement on his trip to the Gulf last week on Monday and then updated MPs on what's been going on in Libya. Pretty strong language about imposing a no-fly zone over Libya and also suggestions that Britain could arm the Libyan rebels. That has not gone down very well elsewhere. Pretty clear indications on Tuesday from the Obama administration that they didn't think the no-fly zone at the moment was a very good idea. Talked about incredible logistical difficulties of doing it. And the French were a bit sniffy about it too. So on Tuesday, what you had from David Cameron was a bit of rowing back. Wouldn't say it's a change of heart, more a change of tone, because Britain, William Hague, Foreign Secretary, is saying, well, it is still possible to do a no-fly zone without a United Nations Security Council resolution. So Britain's still keeping the hope alive, but at the moment doesn't have a huge amount of support for that.
And this is Cameron's first real foreign policy sort of way he's had to come up with big suggestions. What are we learning about him during the process of this?
Well, I think one immediate thing we're learning about David Cameron is that the British government was on the back foot last week when they really struggled to respond to take control of the evacuation of British citizens. He's on the back foot, and so he's trying to regain a lot of political ground. And I think that explains one of the main explanations for why we've been hearing such tough rhetoric from him about what Britain might do in Libya. But also there are sort of wider questions to consider. I mean, Danny Finkelstein, the columnist at the Times, says that you never really learn about a prime minister and what they think about foreign policy until they arrive in Downing Street, because when you're leader of the opposition, you aren't really focused on foreign policy. This is the first big crisis, so we're learning about David Cameron. Well, what are we learning? In his speech to the Kuwait Parliament last week, he made pretty clear that he didn't want to take the George Bush Jr. approach, which, as he says, is dropping democracy out of a plane at 40,000 feet, but neither does he want to take the George Bush Sr. approach, which was essentially after the first Gulf War, to watch as the Shias were massacred by Saddam Hussein. In other words, there are times when you should intervene. And he's, in a sense, David Cameron, trying to sort of steer a middle course. Neither George Bush Jr. nor George Bush Sr., but that's a new approach. And I think he's sort of struggling to sort of fashion exactly where that philosophy is going to take him.
And just finally, Nick, we've heard that obviously Obama, the Obama administration, not up for the no-fly zone at the moment. And France and Russia, I think, have come out against it as well. Is there any support for his suggestion that we would prepare contingency plans for that in Europe or elsewhere?
Well, David Cameron on Monday night had a conversation with Nicolas Sarkozy, the President of France, and they did talk about making contingency plans for a no-fly zone. So certainly there is support for looking at it, for working out how you would make it. But the next steps, which obviously would involve getting a vote at the Security Council at the United Nations, we're not there yet, because the Russians and the Chinese would probably veto it. And the steps after that, which is if you try and go ahead without a United Nations Security Council resolution, we're not there yet. So we're very much in agreement on the sort of the actually going any further. Well, David Cameron is pretty much on his own on that one, and it's very difficult, almost impossible, to imagine how one country, even the United Kingdom, could impose a no-fly zone on its own.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Nick.
Thanks.